Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, Chris Coleman, and now Will Stewart, who is tardy, but I don't care. He's here, and we're happy about
tardy.
It.
Tardy. I don't feel better late tardy. Than never. Recognize that line? I don't feel tardy.
I don't know. No, I don't. What is it?
Van Halen, Hot for Teacher.
No, not a Van Halen guy.
Too far back for
no,
you?
No, not even that. I'm not a Van Halen guy.
You know, I know the beat to that song, but I don't think I know any of the words.
I don't think I do either. No, I'm not a Van Halen guy. Matter of fact, we were having this discussion. We talked about this on the show not too long ago, didn't we? About who was the greatest rock band in the history of rock and roll.
I think we had some kind of
conversation. Because there was a commercial that was running, and like the Van Halen promotion was like, the greatest rock band in the history of rock. And I was like,
The problem with a band like Van Halen is there were two different Van Halens, right?
At least
two different lead singers, you know?
At least.
Yeah.
Like there were two, two Genesises?
There's Van Halen.
Genesi.
There's Van Halen and Van Hagar.
Oh.
And then, I don't know what they've been... A buddy of mine knows all this stuff. He'd be able to tell you how many lead singers they had.
Really?
What years they sang.
Yeah. I don't know any of that stuff. Like, when you said it was kind of like Skynyrd to me. It's like, you know, there's still a band out there called Lynyrd Skynyrd, but that's not them. Like, there's only one living member of the original band still out there.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, Fogerty's younger brother goes around and does something called Creedence Clearwater Remembrance or something like that, I think. And they played in Danville one time, and they play all the CCR songs. but it doesn't sound anything like them, but it's like one of them's the same. I don't know.
I don't like it. I mean, like, we were, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'm using heavy air quotes here, played in Bluefield, like, earlier this summer, as a matter of fact. And we had tickets, and someone had given them to us, and, you know, I'm always grateful for stuff like that. I love live music, but it's just something about that band that I came up on because it's my dad's favorite band. Anything Skynyrd is the best, you know, but now that it's just one living guy, and it's like his brother who's, you know, whatever. And it's not. I can't do it. I just want to point at him, like, you aren't Skynyrd.
Speaking of bands, how about this Brad Paisley rumor?
Oh, that's it. He's a true radio man. That's
good segue,
where I was taking this. Yeah. Yeah.
Segue. I'm not talking about the funny thing you write.
Yeah, I was actually. That's the segue I was going for. Good for you. So yeah, Brad Paisley. How about this? We still don't have an official announcement on this yet, right? What is conceivably the holdup here? Whit Babcock alluded to contractual things.
But, first of all, that's the worst kept secret ever.
Right. Right? No, yeah. I mean, I'm told that, and you
a
probably heard the same thing. Yeah. Like Brad Paisley asked to come do this concert. Didn't
I haven't heard that part, but a lot of my friends in Blacksburg knew about it before me. Like which is surprising. And I started hearing about it like 3 weeks, maybe a month ago. So, and both Babcock and Tim Sands have given the answer. I can either confirm or deny, which means yes, basically. I think it's probably logistics. Where are you going to put it?
Yeah.
Heard several different things, anywhere from lot 5 to lot 1 to the drill field.
Mm-hmm.
Lot 1 seems to have the most steam recently. That's where I've heard it the most, that it will be in lot 1.
The drill field will be really cool, but there's the issue of trampling the grass killing the drill field.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the practice fields where they do the Hokie Fan Fest thing.
Possibility there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's all artificial.
Yeah.
You know, so.
At least half of it's artificial.
Yeah.
They may have replaced the other half with artificial also.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though.
I don't know, but I mean, we had Tim Sands on yesterday, and I asked him about that weekend, and I think even some people here have lost sight or just don't really fully comprehend what a big weekend that's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, seriously, that night, the entire sports watching world is going to have its eyes on Blacksburg. And that's a really big deal. It's not just about the football. Yeah, the cameras are going to be focused on Worsham Field for most of the time, but all eyes are going to be on Blacksburg for that weekend.
It's huge for the Virginia Tech fan base. It'll be fun for those Ohio State fans that are coming. It'll be a new experience.
No doubt.
Yeah. The reason I think it's going to be on the soccer lacrosse practice fields right next to Lot 1 is they're building a new entrance right by Spring Road. Excuse me, Beamer Way. They're building a new entrance right there, and it's a Hokie Stone entrance. They're building like a Hokie Stone walkway up there, because right now there's only really like one entrance
to
get on.
A gate.
Yeah, it's more like a gate type thing.
Now, when you say gate, into where? Like in the lane?
No, into the fields, the practice fields.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the soccer or across practice fields. Like if you're walking on Beamer Way, going towards Lot 4 or something like that, and the fields are on your right, well now, instead of there just being a giant fence there, there's the giant fence with an entrance through the fence, so you don't have to walk all the way around. So they're adding an entrance to those fields. Why? Because they're going to need another entrance for the concert and put there, in my opinion, and plus the Hokie Village stuff during the own game
days. Wait, that's going up right now? That's happening. Yeah. Look, I graduated. I'm gone. I'm avoiding it. Students are coming back. I'm not going over there unless it's work related. But I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and speaking of, just kind of unrelated, but you know, considering it's all, there's always perpetual construction going on that campus of some in some way, shape, or form. There's always a new academic building going up or a new dorm going up. The drill field can be driven on both ways now. That, you know, of course they do that when I'm leaving.
Well, I still haven't been able to experience that because every time I've gone, I've tried to drive down. What's the road that goes next to Miles and Behringer and all that? Past the bookstore?
I'm not sure.
Kent? Is that it?
Odie? Otis? Odie?
Otis is the dog that runs around.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. But anyway, if you go down that road right now, it's blocked off. You can't. It's no through traffic going down that road.
Yeah,
so
I haven't
been able to experience the going both ways on the drill field yet. But I guess I need to get over there and do that before students comes back.
So the entire drill field all the way around is both directions?
I don't think so.
I think it's all the way around.
But
I think it's up at the war memorial.
Well, it alleviates, you know, the, I think, having to, once you get stuck, you have to go all the way around.
Right,
exactly. You know, it's not, you know, it's the most important part of it, basically.
When in doubt, build another roundabout.
That
seems to be Virginia Tech's philosophy and Blacksburg's philosophy.
Yeah, they borrowed that bit of construction from the Northeast. There's nothing but roundabouts in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, there's that. And then I guess just, again, there's going to be a brand new entrance off of Southgate, you know, being built over the next several years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw like a digital rendering of what that might look like. It's almost like a couple of L.A. freeway overpass type looks.
And it's not at the current stoplight. It's going to be further up the road towards Christiansburg.
Uh-huh,
they're putting in a whole cloverleaf bridge over, all that kind of stuff.
As somebody who drives to Radford for work every day, that's going to annoy the heck out of me. I'm going to have to find a different way to go to work.
So I wonder if the current construction on 460 right now plays into that at all. Because I don't know if they're...
Are they
widening the road out there? Do we know what's happening with that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
You can't keep track of all of it.
No,
you know,
I really can't.
It used to be they had one thing going on at a time. You could keep track of it.
Not anymore.
Now it's
job creation. I like it.
I wish I owned a construction company.
Right?
It'd be very profitable business these days.
You'd do all right with a construction company around Virginia Tech's campus. So, Brad Paisley, we don't know it officially. You know, we can't pass it along as official word because... you know, Dr. Sands wouldn't confirm it yesterday on the show. He just kind of
But he wouldn't deny it.
He wouldn't deny it. And neither will Whit Babcock. I'll be there front row. I'm going to camp out.
Oh, no doubt, man. That's going to be awesome.
I saw Paisley at the Blue Ridge Music Festival back in May. And
I bet he's great.
And it's the second time I've seen him. And I'll be totally, I would tell Brad this to his face. The only reason I went was to see the Charlie Daniels Band.
I thought you were going to say his wife was there.
Well, no. I'm sure she's a nice lady. But I went mostly to go see Charlie Daniels. I wasn't sure how many more opportunities I've had to go see Charlie Daniels. Now, seeing Brad was, of course, a great opportunity, and he was fantastic. So the fans that go to this are in for a treat.
And get there early because this is going to be a big crowd. It's not just, you know, the whole campus will be there. Plus, any Virginia Tech student who's interested who lives off campus. Plus, you know, Brad Paisley will be country music so big in Southwest Virginia. You're going to have people coming in from the surrounding area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you better get there because I don't know how parking's going to be with all this construction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have my car parked downtown by mid-afternoon just in case. And I'll just sit.
I'm
going
to park it there Saturday
starts.
Night.
Sure.
You know, and I'll sleep in it. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I probably won't do that, but I'll be back for that for sure. Here we are talking about this concert that hasn't even been officially announced yet. So. it's a big weekend for a lot of reasons. So let's talk a little bit more about what we expect there because, big weekend, all eyes on Blacksburg. I don't know how this impacts the players and their preparation. I mean, we always get the line, they treat this like every other game. It's no different than Purdue or East Carolina. That's a crock. We all realize that's not the case. Ohio State claims to want vengeance, and I'm sure they do to some degree. I just don't know that I buy into this whole, you know, Virginia Tech ruined their perfect season last year. They're mad about this, and they're going to come and want this. I mean, they still won the national championship, for goodness sake. There's part of this whole vengeance narrative that I think doesn't compute with me.
You know, athletes and even non-athletes like me will tell you that whole motivation/revenge thing lasts for a short period of time. Then it gets down to game planning and execution and something that it makes me think of. You know, Blacksburg's going to be very hyped for this. And we actually had a question for one of our recent Friday Q&As that was something to the effect of, do you think Virginia Tech plays poorly at the beginning of big games and gets in the hole a lot? So Chris went through this whole analysis of some of the bigger games in Virginia Tech recent history under Frank Beamer. In Lane Stadium, actually. And he found out that, no, not really. That doesn't happen. I think the one example we all remember was up at FedEx Field against Boise State, which was like a Virginia Tech home game. There were 90,000 people there, and there must have been 75 or 80,000 VT fans. That place was nuts. And Virginia Tech came out and was a little nuts for the first quarter. They lost their heads. Not all of them, but enough of them that they got down 17.
Yeah, say 17 nothing just like
before
that.
Before we even knew what was going on.
Yeah.
That's actually, although that's the thing that everybody remembers, that's not common for Frank Beamer coach teams to lose their heads early in a game.
And everybody does that against Boise State anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at their Fiesta Bowl against Arizona this year. It was 21 nothing, like 6 minutes into the game.
What is up with that program?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Well, it is, but their head coach now, it was Washington now?
Yeah.
You know. Good move for him, I guess. Yeah, he took Sarkisian's job there. I think Washington's been going to be pretty good as a result. But you know, Boise didn't really fall off necessarily, but they haven't been a BCS contender. Oh, I shouldn't say BCS. You know, a playoff contender, legitimately.
Right.
And I don't know how many more of those teams ever will. Yeah, I was looking at things. Who was the Sun Belt commissioner was talking about this recently? We're getting off on a tangent here, but he was talking about this recently where he wants to wean his conference off of these big payday games, mm-hmm. you know, with the Power Five schools, because he wants to reinvest that money in, you know, he wants to see his teams win the big marquee showcase games within their conference to try to make a run, you know, at a college football playoff spot. And I'm reading it and I'm like, well, that sounds great and all, but that's never going to happen.
You're not going to have the strength of schedule.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Marshall was undefeated for like 90% of the season and they were barely top 25.
Yeah. I mean, to do that as one of those small conference teams, you're going to have to go undefeated and you're going to have to play the best non-conference schedule ever. You're going to have to play a bunch of top 15 teams from outside the conference and beat them all.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you beat one, I mean, it would be a big deal.
What Boise did was they built a reputation over a long period of time.
That's right.
They won some bowl games. They went to Oregon and beat Oregon there, if I remember correctly. They came here and beat Tech. I mean,
they beat Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, they built their reputation over a long period of time. We're not talking about going out and going undefeated for one season, because you're right. If you're Marshall or East Carolina or somebody like that, you're not necessarily going to make the playoff. You need to start out in the top 10 like Boise was doing. Kind of there for a while, year after year after year.
What Chris Peterson did there was remarkable. I mean, hell, Dan Hawkins did it before him, and so it's sustainable to some degree. But now with all this movement and sort of the separation of the Power Five, it's going to be really difficult for schools like Boise to do this.
More and more difficult. I think the money gap is really going to start to manifest itself.
No doubt. That's it. We'll take a break. One more segment with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.